Right now it is time for the Media Beat with David Terachuk. David, of course, joins us on a Friday morning here on Robinhood Radio. You can find him multiple other places. Of course, his website, themediabeat.us, themediabeat.us. And also, he is PBS television correspondent reporting on ethics and belief. Good morning, David.
Well, hello to you.
And how is Italy again this week?
Yeah, well, I'm reporting into you from the heart of the old world. Yes, northern Italy. It's wonderful. It's cloudy also, like you report, I think, that your part of the world is. But it's warm and delightful, I have to say. It's restful, and it's hard to believe that I'm in the center. You know, I'm in the part of the world which is seething with dispute. As one member of this 28-country bloc, the European Union, one country, my old home country, Britain, is leaving, and it's very hard to believe that there's political controversy raging over these 28 countries as I sit at the heart of a lot of peaceability, a lot of peaceability here.
Well, you know, let's go back to that to the Brexit, the world's longest exit. I think it will hold a world record by the time it's done.
They're certainly taking their time over it. Yes, it's supposed to be the new deadline. By the way, amusingly enough, and I think we've commented on this before, but amusingly enough, the latest deadline is now Halloween this year. It seems strangely significant, but quite how I'm not really sure. But it just seems right.
Yeah, the expression, don't let the door hit you on the way out, does not apply here.
That's the feeling of most Europeans now that I'm in continental Europe. I can reassure you that it's pretty clear as you scan the media here. Yeah, the Europeans are not. I mean, they're annoyed that their long-laid plans are not turning out quite the way they wanted. And, of course, Britain is not the only fractious member of this 28-country group. But, yes, Britain's decided efforts to get out and get out with a deal or without a deal even, possibly now, is imagining a marriage ending but with no actual divorce agreement. And then you might get some sense of the bad feeling that's evident here. Yeah. And, of course, the incipient complications of, you know, what is business life going to be like either side of the, or what we still call the English Channel, or at least the Brits do. The French call it something else, of course. But there's going to be a very complicated economic life for everybody involved.
I think there's going to be a very complicated economic life for people that aren't even a part of the European bloc, to setting up trade parameters and everything like that. It's just...
Yes. I mean, the interesting thing is, one of many interesting things journalistically this week is that leaked documents are the flavor of the month again. And even in the wake of the leaked documents from our British ambassador to the United States, which has ended up, of course, in his resignation from his position because of the bad feeling blown up between the White House and the United Kingdom government because of this very frankly spoken ambassador. And his communications being revealed in a leak to a British newspaper. There is yet another leak today, overnight, to a different newspaper in England, The Telegraph. But it's all about the negotiations for a new trading arrangement between a newly non-European Britain and the United States. And those negotiations are getting bogged down and stymied in ways that are proving very frustrating for the Brits. So the Brexiteers, who were so eager once they got out of Europe to, you know, have a whole new relationship with the rest of the world, but most of all with the United States, are now reaping the whirlwind. And it's clear that it's not going to be easy at all, because, of course, getting a trade agreement with this American administration at the moment is far from easy. And it's, of course, been complicated by the bad feeling of the last week and meetings supposedly arranged between trade secretary on the American side, the trade secretary there, and the trade secretary his opposite number here in Britain was suddenly cancelled, evidently, and without any warning, and with, again, more bad feeling. So we've got a lot more toilet trouble, but it's pretty well widespread, transatlantically speaking, too.
And we're going to stay here for just a moment because I was listening to last night about a 20-minute show on the BBC about Boris Johnson and his nearest challenger, and how they're saying that if Boris Johnson wins big and actually can set up a government, is one thing, but if it's a close thing and he has to include opponents in his government, it's just going to make sticky up everything even more and continue on what's been going on.
Sure, Boris Johnson, Bojo, as Jill loves to call him, and I like that nickname an awful lot. Bojo is having a harder time, I think, winning through to a clear and assertive and unquestionable authority in charge of the Conservative Party now. No surprise, I don't think, because he's a man who creates a lot of strong feeling both for and against, and his opponent in the struggle for the leadership, Jeremy Hunt, is generally speaking been a quiet operator, but he's got a lot of following, a lot more people than I've expected. Many of the established ranks of the old, if you like, the old Conservative Party, rather like America still has traces of the old Republican Party, despite Trump's takeover of the major apparatus. That's what's happened in the UK too. The old Conservative Party is very anxious about the prospect of a Bojo leadership, Bojo prime ministership. Although, there are those cynical people even amongst the old party that say, well, maybe he's our only hope since the current. Sorry, go on.
As we listened, to show you how American actions do influence the world, just this week, Iranian boats tried to take over a British tanker.
I think I may have lost you. Are you hearing me now?
Yeah, can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, David? We have a bad connection to Italy this morning, as if we didn't know that. I'm gonna I see if I have his cell phone number here.
I'm hearing you in patches.
Okay, so what we're gonna do here, David, I'm gonna try to call you on your cell phone. Let's see if we can do this. I'm not sure if I'll be successful, but you know what? I do believe we can resume this now. David, are you there via the good old-fashioned telephone?
Yeah, good old-fashioned telephone seems to be working. A little crackly, but it feels like good old-fashioned broadcasting too. Maybe I should shout a little louder to get
That's
across
right.
the transatlantic line.
You know, but
Now, can you hear me?
getting back to what we were talking about, though, it shows you where the American decision to pull out of the nuclear deal with Iran leads to tensions in the Strait of Hormuz, and like I said, the British intercepting those boats to prevent the taking of a British tanker.
Oh, yes. Everyone suffers when, what's the old phrase? If America sneezes, the rest of the world catches a cold. Sure, the pulling out of the general agreement with Iran on basically to limit their access to nuclear weapons ultimately has had all these other ramifications, which I'm not sure this White House expected. Yes, indeed, other people are having a difficult time because of it. The British Navy, I'm sure, was delighted to have an excuse to go into action and safeguard the passage of the big, enormous British oil tanker in those narrow straits. I suspect they'll enjoy the role that is now coming to them, and they'll share it with other Western navies as well to ensure passage continues and whatever mischief, because that's all it is, really, mischief on the part of the Iranians to assert themselves and remind everybody that there is an international agreement still in force, even though they're starting to breach it in certain ways in terms of how much radioactive material they're producing, for instance. But it is still there as an agreement, and they're trying to keep everybody else alongside them if they can. But this isn't perhaps the wisest way of going about it, getting other people's navies to take action on the high seas.
One of my dearest wishes, as you are somewhat aware, is I would so love even someone in the press or the media to cover some other aspect of any story. Simply because the sameness of, all right, X happened, it's bad, and it's only bad for this reason, is getting less informative. And I would...
Oh, sure. And there is a terrible tendency, along with TDS, the generally prevalent syndrome called TDS, the Trump derangement syndrome, which blames Trump for everything that goes wrong. It needs to be corrected continually, I think, with the kind of reporting that will indicate that, yes, there are a lot more forces at work, and are a lot more forces at work on just about every engagement that, yes, may well be worsened by the intervention of this particular White House. The other forces are still always in play and need to be analyzed in their own right and for their own good reasons.
Just for the sake of balanced thinking and assessment, is European press still better at that?
On the whole, yes. Though the British press, I'm afraid, is getting sucked into the vortex that I expected them to, and I think a lot of people expected them to, as their connection with Europe has gotten more and more frayed, and has come now, as we know, to breaking point. But what kind of breaking is still not clear, and the Brits are still anxious to put to the very fore of their thinking a new arrangement with the United States. And as I said, the other leak of the week is showing that that's not going very well for the Brits either, since trying to negotiate a new deal with this White House is never going to be easy for any country. And an isolated country on its own like Britain, nowhere near as powerful as it still to this day seems to think it is, they're going to be at a distinct disadvantage coming up with a new deal with the United States to take the place, which is essentially what they want, with the previous arrangements they had with Europe.
And do you think, one of the things with we will obviously see what ultimately happens, but the dinner that so caught my attention just over a year ago, where it became clear that an assault was going to be made on Mrs. May's leadership, and that basically everything that is happening, I'm not going to say everything because it's not, that's not true, but many things that are happening now, you can tell, were baked up then and are being served, because that's how long it actually takes, even in our vastly rapid world, where there's the apparency that, because information moves so quickly and you can do it, it still takes time to unseat someone in a position.
Oh, sure, yes. And some problems are very lengthy in their gestation period. I mean, the attack that was made this last week, because that's what essentially it was, on the British ambassador to Washington.
That was ages in the coming.
That was in the making several years ago.
Right.
There's been a very, very strong body of opinion within the British establishment who've been against this individual for a long time. And the pro-Brexit, Brexiteer people, of course, because he was always regarded as an ultra-European. And for that, you know, for that reason, was a marked man. And finally, you know, a great trove of documents came to hand, and the full forces of the Brexiteer establishment, because there is such a thing now, in British politics, both in Parliament and in the civil service too. I'm sad to report that a great paragon of objectivity, for the most part, has been infected by the partisanship of Brexit versus European, and has resulted in this very interesting and in other terms, very well-regarded diplomat being put out to dry.
And it's just what is frustrating is it's so easy, particularly now that after 20 years you've basically organized it so that people's brains are really can only respond to yes, no, you know, black, white. The nuances have been, in many cases, just worn down to nubs. And or the ability to calculate, you know, to think through and to use your brain cells on nuance, especially in media, have been reduced to very, very reduced to nothing, let's just say. And the problem is that it's like, okay, you don't even think about, or you are discouraged from thinking about the many, 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 many different elements and components and, God should save us, individuals that are involved and affected in various ways. And as you have this sort of, to discuss anything like that, you've got to have a pretty, what do they call it, from 30,000 feet, you've got to just be able to just do the overview. But when you turn the overview into black and white, bad and good. Oh, we're for this. Well, we're for that. It just wrecks the discourse.
Right. And if you're for this and therefore you're against that,
then you're bad.
I'm going to get you for,
right. You're some sort of
for that fact alone and any other virtues that there may be in you not being got at, go fly out of the window. But, I mean, I think politics has always been a bit like that. I mean, it's just more amplified now with the extraordinary megaphones everyone has for yelling someone down.
But you've just made my point. Politics has always been like this. It's all about a scrum surviving to the next day. And what my curiosity is you know, the coverage of politics is, again, because it's so not nuanced here, it's kind of useless. And at least over there, you've got different. You've already got, when I say over there, yeah, you happen to be in the oldie worldie right now. But at least there are. It's already set. There are different outlets for your different political flavoring. In other
That's
words,
true. Yeah.
I mean, how many different parties are there?
Well, there's more than two, and that has its virtues and it has its problems too. One of the jokes about this country that I'm in now, Italy always has had. Always, I mean, for living memory anyway, has had the problem of forming coalition governments out
right.
of a multiplicity of parties that get returned to the parliament. And we have an example of that now. It's two of the more right-wing parties that are in coalition forming a government. And indeed, the most powerful man in Italy is said to be from one of the minor parties and the Northern League. And by the way, his nickname is Il Capitano. They don't quite want to call him Il Duce.
Not quite, right?
Too many nasty echoes back to Mussolini, but
right.
We're getting close to it. But yes, there are more parties than two. And that goes for just about every European country now. And interestingly enough, it seems to be in the wake of the European elections that were held, even though Britain is on its way out of Europe, it still had to hold its share of European elections, electing people to the European Parliament. And then we had a surge of new parties gaining a slice of the seats in the European Parliament, just to show that Britain, too, can have a lot of shaded political opinion. It's not all, as you say, black and white.
So
but it's also, I'm sorry, with what you two are talking about, my mind flashes back to when Theresa May was running and the knight was sitting right next to her on the stage.
All right, the one who got six votes.
And it kind of, that reminded me of...
That's a representative democracy.
But that reminded me of California when they had that election where they had like 26 people running. And that does tend to water down
kind of like the Democratic primary?
Well, the Democratic primary.
I was going to say, we've got 24 candidates with it, but that's all intramural. Isn't
yeah,
it,
that's exactly right.
Big umbrella of a party trying to pick its one leader.
That's not
which,
the.
You know, after all, the Conservative Party here in Europe, the Conservative Party of Britain, was having to winnow down a field that was over a dozen. So, that's a good process. That's a good process.
The Democratic primary will be down to 5 to 7 candidates within the next month. I say within the next 30 to 40.
Sure,
I want
right.
my money back. The amount of money that was spent to get it winnowed down is just distressing to me. And I would like that donated to Robin Hood Radio, Tri-State Public Communications.
Wouldn't we all? Yes, absolutely.
Yes, because
I'll send you a Euro check.
No, frankly, because if it's donated here, I promise that I will make sure that people who need it get it. Anyhow, sorry.
Good.
I digressed. Now, back to...
Well, no, almost always it's a talk about if you ruled the world, it would be much better. So funneling the finances for that through Robin Hood Radio would probably be a very good start.
Absolutely, because what better? Robin Hood. Now, quickly to the people who were elected, this is going to be hard, but the people who are elected to the European Parliament as Brexit, pro-Brexit types.
Who turned their back on the European anthem when it was played in Parliament. Yes.
You're kidding.
Very, very interesting shades of opinion, of course.
Where did they learn that?
British are renowned for their good manners, remember?
That's right. I always forgot. Is that going to alter anything just in negotiation-wise, really in broad strokes, do you think?
In a word, no.
Okay.
Absolutely not. Right. You can't be a representative. You can't be an effective representative of anything if your membership of the club in which you're a member is totally rescinded, as it will be by Halloween of this year. Those people will not have a seat in the parliament, which is, in any case, not a legislative body of any great power. It's constrained by many different forces, not least of which, of course, is that they represent members from 28 countries, 27 after Halloween, of course. It's not a legislative body with much active power. Although, you know, it is possible to formulate new regulation or the basis for regulations that then the Commission, which is like the cabinet, if you like, of Europe, would then have to turn into new European regulations that would apply to the 27 countries that remain after October.
Well, we're all going to have to learn new steps, I think.
Oh, we are. We certainly are. This is a changing world.
When is the 22nd where this, by the way, needs a little more attention. How many people are actually choosing between the leaders?
Oh, it will be the 22nd of July is when the result of the Tory party squabble for leadership. The estimates vary about the total membership, but it's members of the Conservative Party in the country as a whole. So that amounts to between 160,000 and 180,000 people. That's the electorate that are making this momentous decision.
Let's just leave it right there, shall we?
Pause for thought. Yes, indeed.
Thank you very much, David Tereshchuk, the Media Beat. Enjoy the oldie worldie.
Thank you.
Of course, you can hear the Media Beat right here on Robinhood Radio, live every Friday morning, and then rebroadcast on the weekend, and also rebroadcast during the week as well in our noontime block.